Well, if you look at images from Cairo's Tahrir Square, you'll see lots of signs that say Mubarak must go. Not too many that says Ben Bernanke must get out of Egypt. However, Ben Bernanke, the Fed chair, is already saying, it's not my fault.
Food in Egypt is priced in Egyptian pounds, not in dollars. If the dollar is weaker, the Egyptian pound is stronger. So clearly what's happening is not a dollar effect. What's happening is a growth effect, primarily in the emerging markets, which is creating this tremendous demand for commodities, which is driving up the relative prices of those commodities.
That's Ben Bernanke, the Fed chief, yesterday at the National Press Club. Why would Ben Bernanke think anyone would blame the United States for the food prices rising in Egypt and then causing unrest there? Well, it's not necessarily all that far-fetched, as you heard from Louis' story just a few moments ago. Joining us now is Tariq Youssef, founding dean of the Dubai School of Government and senior Brookings fellow. He wrote a report for Brookings in 2009 called Generation in Waiting, the Unfulfilled Promise of Young People in the Middle East. And Max Roddenbeck joins us, Middle East correspondent for The Economist, author of Cairo, the City Victorious. And he's here from Tahrir Square in Cairo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Tariq, let me begin with you. We've heard a lot about how food prices, the rising cost of food in Egypt, has helped to drive the protests there. Who exactly is to blame for that? Are the demonstrators right in pointing to Mubarak?
I think it would be unfair to put the entire blame on food prices. I think food prices come after a period in which you see many other issues on the minds of Egyptians, not just the young, but also the middle classes. Job issues, education issues, infrastructure issues, health services. Egypt has not exactly performed well for over 20 years. And so you've got a generation of youngsters who are not so young anymore, who are absolutely quite frustrated, feel disenfranchised, and feel that they have no voice. I think what food prices may have done recently, in addition to other problems with the subsidy systems and general economic malice in the countries, they have created an alliance between the young and the middle classes, which have been always the power base of the regime in Egypt.
Well, Tariq, there was a lot when these protests first began, it seemed to be a young person's movement there, although there's really now participation from all walks of Egyptian society. Do you assume that the young people will continue to be plugged in to the government as a transition, the expected transition occurs, that they will continue to be this engaged?
I think they will become potentially more engaged. Remember, for many of the young, this is the first time they feel they have a voice. They feel empowered. Should they topple the Mubarak regime, this will be an incredible vindication for them and for many of the neighboring young populations of the Arab world. The ramifications of this could be potentially profound. Their engagement through social media, through civic society, their voice, together with a population at large that feel for the very first time that they've managed to control their destiny. I think the ramifications of what we see could be with us for a very long time and would affect not just Egypt and Tunisia, but most of the countries in the region where freedoms are typically repressed, where you see concerns about economic well-being, and you have general fears about the future.
Well, Max Roddenbeck, I'm assuming that you accept both food prices and high unemployment as factors into the protests that have been going on there. Certainly a transition in government is not going to fix those things in Egypt.
That's probably true, but I think actually the core of the problem is really a political one. I mean, sure, people are suffering here from tremendous economic pressures, and you know, it's a country where 40% of the population lives on under $2 a day. I mean, it's a really very poor country. But in fact, I mean, the economic pressures now are affecting more the pro-Mubarak crowd than the anti-Mubarak crowd, in a sense. I mean, one of the things that the government has managed to do in the last 10 days of unrest is to paint a picture of the protesters being the reason behind economic problems. I mean, people haven't had their salaries from January. There are bread shortages. It's actually the poor who are suffering, and a lot of them are sort of shifting to the side of the government. And this is the protest movement is really a middle-class movement.
Well, you know, I read that some analysts at Goldman Sachs are warning that other countries in the Arab world may start stockpiling grain and other food commodities in order to sort of head off any political instability there. But that, of course, would raise the price of food even higher. Could things get worse?
I think well, prices are rising fast during this crisis in Egypt, but partly because there are shortages, the distribution system is broken down, and as I say, people haven't got hold of their salaries. Sure, prices could get worse. I mean, world commodity prices keep going up. Egypt has one of the reasons why there hasn't been something like this before in Egypt is that there's a very extensive system of subsidies. I mean, bread is still sold at one penny, the equivalent of one U.S. cent a loaf. And that's one reason why there's shortages now, because there isn't enough of the subsidized bread being produced.
Well, then broadly, Tariq Youssef, founding dean of the Dubai School of Government, are governments like Egypt prepared to withdraw from the economy? The government being so involved in the economy is part of the theme of this conversation here, and that's true around the region. Are governments able to do that?
Quite frankly, I think the train has left on governments pulling away. My sense right now is that most governments in the region are going to get back to the steering wheel, and they will engage in all sorts of short-term measures. We're seeing this not just in Egypt, in Algeria, the stockpiling food. In Syria, they have increased electricity and gas subsidies. We've seen in Jordan steps being taken. Most governments in the region are going to try to sort of keep the lid on the street and middle class pressures that's coming from below, and they'll engage in policies which, quite frankly, might be opportunistic and politically smart in the short term, but in the long term, they will be counterproductive to what they actually should be doing, which is precisely just suggested that they should be pulling back.
Tariq Youssef, a senior Brookings fellow and dean of the Dubai School of Government, and Max Rodenbeck there in Tahrir Square in Cairo. Crowds are still coming in.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, there are huge crowds coming in. It's a constant flow of people.
All right. Max Rodenbeck, Middle East correspondent for The Economist, author of Cairo, The City Victorious.